Hello Robert, thanks very much for joining Sonic Scotland today to tell us a wee bit about your band, the Sundance Shatter. I wonder if we could start by you giving us a wee bit of background to the Sundance Shatter, really how they got together and I suppose what has changed to bring us up to the current lineup of the band.
So we all met at Glasgow Uni when we started in 2011. I shared a flat with our drummer and the guitarist. I met him on a night out just randomly, but he stayed in like the block next to us, like in halls. And our bass player was pals with a guy that stayed in our flat. So it was all just kind of through that uni thing that we all kind of met and stuff. We started maybe playing together from January 2012, then doing our first gig in June 2012. So it's been about like nearly 2 years now we've been playing live. And since that, like it's majorly kind of stayed the same with the lineup, except for a while Nick Miller, our friend, joined to play guitar, but that was only for like a couple of months before he moved to Australia. So I'm back playing guitar, which is fun. It's different, like not playing it for a wee while and stuff, but if he comes back, obviously like we'd get him back involved, but until then we're just kind of going on with the four original members like it was at the start.
And how do you in the band, how do all the members in the band differentiate themselves from other bands that you see performing around Glasgow and Scotland?
I think we're all quite different. I guess a lot of bands that form, they'll form through like a shared interest in like certain bands and stuff, like they'll all have kind of the same influences and things like that, which would maybe develop a sound in a certain way. With us it's quite different, like we're all into quite different stuff. There is obviously some things that cross over which bring us together, but when we start like writing a song in the studio very quickly, the idea of what any of us had in our head that it would sound like at the start becomes very, very different. Chris is quite into drum and bass stuff and things like that, so his drumming style often means the songs turn out like a totally different way than I'd imagined at the start. So yeah, just because our influences ourselves are all quite different, it means that the overall sound in the end is quite different, I think. So it's quite good, because if it was left up to me, we'd just sound like all my heroes. It's like, yeah, I guess diversity is good.
And what's your idea of a typical, if there is such a thing, Glasgow band?
That's a good question. I don't know, like Glasgow as a city obviously has like so many different aspects to it, like culture-wise. There's so many different, obviously, like genres that people are interested in and playing in. Yeah, the idea of a Glasgow band, it's, I guess, a different thing for different people. And the way I see it, Glasgow bands that like relate to me, it's like bands that are writing songs about like the way I see the city, the way I go about my day-to-day life. Like, that's my vision of a Glasgow band, but obviously everyone's life's different. That's why there's so many bands that many people love from the city.
So Robert, do you link with other bands and artists in and around Glasgow and further afield?
Yeah, since we started out, obviously there's bands we came in contact with and became pals with, or maybe people we've known beforehand that we often link with. Our first gig we were supporting our friend's band called Scotland Yard, Henry Morgan Jr. He used to be in a band called Mad Skull as well as Marco Pierrofusco. Mad Skull had supported bands like Dirty Pretty Things, Las Vegas, so being able to play with people that have played with these kind of people, it was like a really special thing, as well as them being pals. Other than that, we've also played with a band called SOS, who again, they're doing really, really well in Glasgow. There's loads of bands like we regularly try and link with. It's always interesting to try and see what other people are trying to do in terms of like what kind of thing they're writing or what kind of promotion or marketing they're doing. It's always good to like see how everyone's making like their own wee thing work. Kind of cliche answer, but we do try and just do it our own way as much as possible. We were talking about this the other day actually, with regards to playing gigs. Obviously, there's a lot of promoters that are trying to get loads of bands playing and they'll try and make the most money they can, not really do much promotion, but essentially just use bands as like a way to make a lot of money, not actually caring about the talent or not caring about the band's future or during the artist's career. For us, it's, at this point, it's just a thing we all love doing and we wouldn't want to be helping these people get further for these kind of wrong reasons. We always want to do it for our own thing. We just try and go about everything in a way that works for us, I guess.
And can you tell me a bit more about your live performances? You've mentioned quite a number of bands that you performed with.
Yeah.
But how do you prepare for it? How do you pick your venues? What about locations? Have they all been in Glasgow or have they been elsewhere?
The majority of gigs we've played, we've been booked for. We've not essentially like picked the venues. So the majority of them have been in Glasgow and we've played in venues like the Art School, well, the old Art School in Circle Street now, the 13th Note, People People, Broadcast. We spotted a band called Dead Sea Souls as well in Bathgate, so that's our only one outside Glasgow at this point, but we're hoping to do more soon. In terms of getting ready for gigs, normally we try to go to the studio at least once a week for 3 hours to just practice and work out what we're doing. And yeah, depending on the billing, we'll decide what we should play set-wise. Like maybe depending on what kind of night it is, we might pick different songs to play, different order, and just to try and mix it up a bit.
And you're keeping pretty busy, as I understand. You've got 2 gigs this week.
Yeah, so in the last month we headlined Glasgow's Dirty Weekender, which is a festival put on by My First Music. And it was a really good thing. It was 4 venues over 2 days with like over 30 bands playing. And it was just like a really cool thing to be part of. We headlined People, one of the venues, on the Friday. So that was a really good experience. 2 weeks after that, we supported a Manchester band called Mutineers at Flat 01, which was again good. And then this week, tonight actually, we're playing at Hard Rock Cafes for a charity gig in aid of York Hill. And then Sunday, we're doing a strip back acoustic in store at the £15 Kilo store in the West End. So yeah, it's pretty busy, but it's fun. Like we love doing it, and playing Hard Rock Cafe tonight will be fun. It's a really cool venue.
You mentioned earlier about working in the studio, and I wonder if you could tell us a bit on how you feel that benefits you or doesn't benefit you, depending on the studio environment that you've got.
Depending on how we write the songs, like sometimes I'll maybe just write words and then our guitarist will write the music to it, and he'll maybe send me that demo or me like the kind of thing he's thought of, or I'll write basic chords and he'll work a lead part around it. But as I said, like, always the kind of idea I've got of what the song's going to be like in my head is so different by the time we go to the studio. It's good and bad, depends. If the idea I've got in my head is one that I think, oh, I really like this, then as soon as we go into the studio and Chris starts with a mad mental drum beat that's totally different to what I was thinking, it's quite funny. But it's normally really good. It's amazing seeing all our different ideas come together and make something that's totally different. I do think if it was down to me or any of us, like how far we could go in terms of being original would be limited. It's the fact that we play off each other that makes it unique. It's good. The studios are an amazing place to do that and learn from each other, I guess.
Do you want to tell us just a bit more about some of your new releases and if there's any up-and-coming dates that we need to watch out for?
Well, we brought out our first EP, Sunrise it was called, on October the 21st last year, and that was a 4-track EP with the very first songs we ever worked on as a band. We just wanted to get them out because that was the ones people knew mostly from gigs. But very quickly since then, I think on that EP we only play one now live. We've got a lot of new material. The kind of things I've been writing about lately are a lot different as well compared to before. Over Christmas, like the Clufar helicopter crash, I wrote a song after that happened, thinking about the survivors and how anyone that lost anyone would be feeling in that kind of situation. A lot of the songs as well lately have been focusing on, I guess, like the idea of deception and betrayal and artificial and plastic affection, I guess. Yeah, they've been quite happy, obviously. Really cheery songs.
Just wanting to home in on what you're going to do around the next release and your marketing and promotion around that. How do you go about that?
So we've recorded some demos for like these new songs, which we'll hopefully be releasing soon. So I think we're going to just release these ones through SoundCloud just to give people an idea of like what the kind of new songs are. And then after that, I think the plan is to release a single called The Heartbreaker. We've still got to go in and record that, but it will essentially be marketed the same way as we did the EP. So we'll have a launch night for it and also just send out EPKs to all relevant press and radio, try and just get as much attention from it as possible. Releasing the debut EP, The Daily Record, with Sunday Mail, gave us a really nice write-up for it. So having things like that obviously gives you further accreditation. Makes having like a good quote on your side obviously means other people be more intrigued, give you a better stance and like try to get other people interested. So release that single and take it from there, see what happens.
I wonder if I could just ask you sort of 3 general questions that Sonic Scotland's interested in.
Yeah, cool.
Scotland's kind of known historically for punching above its weight in the music industry, both at home and internationally. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you'd any thoughts about why you think that is, and also what you think would support that trend continuing.
It's an interesting question. Like, I think Scottish culture is very, very strong. It always has been, but maybe Scotland's identity was combined with Britain's. It wasn't as clear cut as it is now. But since like the 1980s, with like obviously bands like Orange Juice and that breaking through, and then also as well like writers as well that's helped around that time, like Alistair Gray and Tom Leonard, and all these barriers have been broken down, allowing Scottish culture to be portrayed to a bigger degree. Since then, there's not really any limits to how far you can go, and it's not essentially being Scottish for the sake of it, just like a freedom to express the world as you know it and not have to be confined to any rules or hierarchy that was in place before. It's only going to get stronger. There's so much more opportunity for it now. We've obviously seen like the world is interested in what Scottish bands and artists are saying. You just have to look at the success of like Bellis Bastion and Biffy Clyro, Glass Vegas, Frightened Rabbit. All these bands have done really, really well both here and internationally.
And do you think the resurgence of bands from previous decades will continue to make a contribution to the development of Scottish culture as they currently are doing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and finally, what do you think the cultural impact will be of the Scottish independent votes, whether it's yes or no in September?
It'll be massive, but either way, it's going to be totally huge. I think in terms of like people involved in the creative arts like music, if it's a no vote, it's going to be devastating. But at the same time, it'll be kind of special as well, because you'll see like all this art come about, there'll be about that. There'll be people expressing their anger and frustration more, though that could be just as much part of our culture as it would be if they're expressing a happy, celebrating like, themed thing. But it'll be huge. It's definitely going to make a massive, massive impact, and it's exciting all being in a band, being around a time when this is all happening, because it would definitely impact us as well.
Okay, Robert, thanks very much for all your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Enjoyed it.